Hi there, I'm Ashley Selman, and welcome to the Evolution Trainers podcast, Healthy is Happy. Our goal is to provide you with the latest health and fitness information so that you can be informed to make decisions to optimize your health and ultimately your happiness. Hi there, and welcome to our Evolution Trainers podcast. My name's Ashley Selman. I'm the owner of Evolution Trainers, and we are bringing this podcast to you to help you on your health and fitness journey and to give you knowledge and information that will help you make great choices about your training program, your fitness, and making you a healthier and happier person. So I am here today with Mark Santos. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, hello, hello.
Great to have you here. Mark has been a trainer at Evolution for going on 3 years now.
I know.
Been a lot of fun.
Time flies.
I know. Mark's been a trainer for over 7 years now, and he's really an expert in sustainable change and how to really get his clients to make change that can last for the long term and really get them to where they want to go. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about how did you first sort of get into sustainable change?
Well, it kind of came about because I think, you know, I used to work in a commercial gym, and as a result of that, you know, you get clientele, they come in and see you, and you sit down with them, and then you interview them about why they want to do things, and then you feel like you have all the answers to, you know, all the questions that they have, like, you know, here's your meal plan, here's your workout program, you know, so on and so forth. And then when you check in with them to see if they've done any of these things, right, more often than not, I'd find that they weren't able to do some of the things I asked them to do. And so I started to get really curious about why that is. And that kind of led me down to the path of, well, how do you actually create change? And so now I utilize that as the majority of my work now is study of change and how you kind of go about doing that.
That's great. And that's such a good point. And I actually think that's more of where the industry is going and more of the cutting edge is, like, it's really not that hard to create a meal plan. And it's really not that hard to give somebody an exercise program. But to actually motivate them, give them the tools to really implement into their lives is really the harder part.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's great. So tell us a little more, like, what tools do you use when you're helping someone, you know, change their mindset or incorporate some of these changes you're asking them to do?
Well, in the beginning, I mean, it's a lot of conversation, to be honest, you know, and then further on down the line, I think there's things as far as, you know, getting, you know, family and friends involved and building some kind of community that supports some of the decisions they're trying to make. But in the very beginning, it's really a lot of just me with the client and talking through some of maybe some of the beliefs that they have about certain things and how that could be getting in the way or impeding their progress. And then I guess the biggest thing that I do as a coach is I follow up pretty frequently. And I think sometimes we as trainers and coaches sometimes can miss that boat where we don't follow up enough with our clients because you know, it's hard to make change, especially in the beginning, if they don't have any, if they feel like they don't have enough support. Mm-hmm. So I think that would probably be the two things that I think I utilize the most.
So it sounds like support is the big key, because making a change on your own can be difficult. So as you said, both friends and family, people around them being bought in and encouraging them and accepting and supporting the change, which can sometimes be a little challenging.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. There's, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, you know, when we talk about weight loss, I think some of these things aren't talked about enough as far as getting family and friends or just relationships involved that actually support a change. And, you know, if you're not the best at communicating or asserting yourself as far as what your goals are, you know, I don't think many people talk about, you know, having a skill to be confident and assert yourself relating to weight loss, you know, like that's a skill that's probably necessary to, in order to, you know, make your family and friends or people that are around you like accomplices to mm-hmm. be able to state your goal and your motivation surrounding certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. There's almost a opposite peer pressure sometimes in social situations to be like, oh, come on, don't be so healthy.
Or, right,
you know,
right.
You're not going to have a piece of cake.
Or, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
I could see how that could be hard. And then combined with, as you said, with a trainer, we usually see people, you know, one, two, three times a week.
Yep.
So what, 2 hours a week, and they have 166 other hours on their own.
Yeah.
And so that can be a long time in between of
right.
having to maintain. So that extra support, would be very important, especially in the beginning.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I, for sure. I think in my experience, the first 3 months to 3 to 4 months are probably the most crucial. Because they're still learning a lot of new things and developing new ways of thinking. And so following up frequently in the beginning, is an essential part of the process.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then if someone is trying to start this change, like what are some of the, I know it's really individual. I mean, as you said, you need to talk to somebody because everybody's beliefs and barriers are going to really be different.
Yeah.
But are there any sort of general steps or recommendation? If someone wants to make sustainable change, where do they start? What are some tools?
Yeah, so this is, it's more esoteric, I think. Like, mm-hmm. Someone has to start to really be comfortable with challenging their way of thinking. And I think being open to, saying that your perspective is not the only perspective and that there might be things that or perspectives that you haven't entertained yet and that could help you move on. I think that's where most people would want to start, is because I think we have our own version of reality and we kind of ruminate on the same thoughts over and over again. So being open to suggestion or being, open to having a change in the way you think is very important in the beginning. And so I guess that can be summed up with being, humble or having some humility around, not thinking that you know everything and that being open to different perspectives.
Being open-minded and willing to challenge your own belief system.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is not always easy,
right.
not always easy to do.
Well, sometimes it's even hard to realize you have a belief system about something.
Agreed.
It just seems sort of factual.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait, there's more than one way to look at this?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's cool. I like that. So you touched on this a little bit, but talk a little more about mindset we talked about belief system, but I think there's a little difference between belief system and your mindset about something.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how does that play a role in being successful in this type of undertaking?
For sure. So, I mean, the way I meet with everybody when I first meet them is I do, come out and almost blatantly say that this is a process of trial and error. Where, I don't really have any answers for you. The more you talk to somebody, people already have the answers, mm-hmm. right? They already thought about this thing probably over and over and over again. And they just need someone to kind of voice it off of and give them feedback as to what you think about it, And so I think the process kind of has to undertake this idea of, I think we're prone to want to be perfect all the time and to not want to make any mistakes. And I think the mindset that, I continually try to cultivate is that, that when I try some things are going to work and some things are not going to work. We're going to take what we think is working and we're going to move forward with that and scrap the rest. And it's going to keep going that way until you find something that works for your unique situation and takes into consideration your tendencies as a person and your personality. Because if you look at successful weight loss in any realm, really, in most studies, it's mostly homegrown, where people have developed their own way of doing things. And so part of that is, this process of trial and error, but it's also, developing your own filter. There's tons of information about what you can do. If you type in weight loss, there's millions of strategies on how to do this, right? So when I talk with clients mostly, it's about developing your own filter, and your filter consists of you, your personality, your traits, your tendencies, the lifestyle you live, the schedule you have, because all your information that you receive or you take in has to pass through that. It mm-hmm. has to go through that to see what works.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think cultivating that kind of space where you feel comfortable trying different things and being comfortable accepting, quote unquote failures or setbacks, and then learning from those experiences, I think is a vital part of this whole process.
Yeah, and there's a couple of really interesting things you said there. One that I'm starting to hear more and more now is that approaching health and fitness or life as an experiment, right? That there's no right or wrong. There's no exact way to do things. It's a constant experiment of try it, evaluate it. Does it work? Does it not work? Does it fit your life? Does it not fit your life? Can you sustain it? Can you not? And then go back and adjust and change and tweak.
Right.
And it's a constant experiment, which I think helps with people's feeling of, like, sometimes I think people do struggle with perfection. Like, I'm going to do this new program.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't go super well because right. it's a lot of change at once.
Yes.
And then they feel like a failure and then they give up.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I'm not an advocate of saying, like, if someone wants to do a workout program and wants to, you know, I don't know, track calories and do meal plans, I'm not saying don't do it, you know. I'm saying go into it with some level of engagement where you're learning from it, where, you know, at the end of this, because it's going to end at some point. But what did you take away from that experience is what I'm asking, because I don't think there's anything wrong with trying different things out. But coming away from that and not expecting it to be the end all be all, your only answer is kind of the point, where you learn more about yourself and your tendencies while doing something like this. Maybe you do, you know, like a whole 30 and you find out that, you know, you really enjoy Brussels sprouts, you know, like that's something you may not have known prior to, you know, like, or maybe you cook them in a certain way that you're like, oh wow, this is actually really good. And that's something you can take away from that idea of whole 30 that necessarily you don't have to apply whole 30 for the rest of your life, but you took something away from that you can apply on your day-to-day living, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. I've done a couple. I did a 3-week sort of vegan program, which I'm not vegan typically.
Right.
And the thing I took away with that, I realized I was sort of in my head addicted to eating protein and thought, oh, I'm going to feel terrible, and realized, like, oh, I actually felt good. So I changed my belief system.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing is there were some couple great recipes I would have never tried, and now I've incorporated them in sort of like my daily,
right.
you know, my monthly life of like trying some different recipes. So it did. It opened my mind in a couple other ways because it took me outside of what my normal habits were.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And that's mm-hmm. why I think, you know, you should, I never say you shouldn't do anything, because, you know, give it a shot. See what mm-hmm. you take away from mm-hmm. it. Because, you know, in some level, you have to be able to discern what's good for you and what's not for you, for yourself. You know, you have to, and the only way to do that, you know, I think our industry talks a lot about this idea of balance and maintaining a balance. But the only way we can know what a balance is if we touch, you know, at least the ends of both the spectrum, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. to some degree, I have to know what really good feels like to know what really bad feels like mm-hmm. in the same, you know, mm-hmm. or what really bad feels like to know the middle. Mm-hmm. And so being able to experiment enough to touch both ends of the spectrum to find your own middle, you know, you have to allow yourself the leeway to, you know, try things.
And I do think that I really like that concept of experiment, and even for myself, and I think women in general, maybe everyone, I don't know, but for as a woman and knowing kind of the stress and fear around weight gain and body image and things like that, is like you get fearful to experiment. Like, what if I try this and I all of a sudden gain 10 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh no, like then what's gonna happen? It's like this fear that keeps you stuck. But when you look at it, it's like, oh, it's experiment. I'll try it for a couple weeks, like see what happens. And then it frees you up to like surprise yourself about things that you otherwise might have been too, for me, I know I've been too fearful to try something. And then when I go, oh, it's an experiment, I'll do it for 2 weeks, what's the worst that can happen? And be like, oh my God, I felt way better than I expected, or I got some unexpected result from it. So it gives you kind of permission to get out of this. It's not in what I think is the perfect way, so it must be wrong, when in fact your thinking is what was wrong.
Yeah. And it's that, you know, going back to what you're talking about, the image and that stuff, I think we tend to place a lot of emotional investment on things that, you know, would not probably service the best, you know. And there's a lot of parallels in life. Like, if you go back in life and you think about, you know, I mean, when I was 15 years old, I worked at Togo's and I was like a you know, I worked the cash register, you know, but I didn't identify myself as like a cashier, you know, but the whole process of learning how to use a cash register, right? That's a learning process. There's a trial and error, you know, process to that. But I don't feel like, I don't identify with being a cashier. So there's no weight, you know, bearing on me to feel like I'm failing or like this is somehow indicative of who I am, right? As opposed to some of the things that we kind of do where, you know, like we feel like how we look and our weight and these things, you know, in a sense define us. And so we place a large amount of emotional investment. So when it doesn't necessarily go our way, we feel worse because we feel like it's a reflection of who we are. Mm-hmm.
It's not just the process was a failure, but it's I am a failure.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's funny. I just wrote a blog on why weight loss should not be your motivation to exercise. Not because exercise can't help with weight loss, but because of all the psychological and emotional baggage that comes with that goal and how not only it can if you're not successful right away, how you may give up on something that's actually good for you, or how you might be overtraining because you're just, I have to burn more calories. There's so many emotional dangers of having that be your main motivation. And it's kind of what you're saying. It's like the taking yourself away from a goal that is too attached to emotion and too attached to your self-identity.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, we do that a lot in our culture. You know, you call yourself a trainer, you call yourself a coach, and some of these things are, we feel they're normal in language, right? But there's no such thing as a coach or a trainer. You know, like you couldn't walk into Starbucks and point out a coach and trainer standing in line, right? Like there are people that coach, there are people that train. Being able to separate yourself from some of these titles and using different language and understanding what that means when you say something like that, you know, speaks on what we're talking about. It's separating yourself from the action or the idea of being a coach or coaching and saying, hey, you know, I'm just a person that coaches, because it separates yourself from the action. Mm-hmm. And this is why sometimes we see athletes, you know, when they retire, they don't know what to do with themselves, you know, because mm-hmm. they define themselves as an athlete. You know?
Absolutely.
You are a person that played sports and now you have to be somebody different, mm-hmm. you know, which is like, that just speaks to what we're talking about
Absolutely.
Identifying it differently.
Absolutely. So tell me, if someone, obviously this topic is pretty layered, there's a lot to it, right? It's
For
not
sure.
just a simple, here's what you do and go do it. But if someone wanted to learn more about this or wanted to explore sort of the psychology of change or understanding more how to open up their mind to sort of change their belief systems, do you have any resources you could recommend?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that introduced me into this was Influencer, and I can't remember the name of the author, but I think it was based on the research by Albert Bandura. After that was Change Anything, which is very similar. I think it was just a remake of the original Influencer, and then Switch by Chip and Dan Heath, mm-hmm. which was also a very good primer into, you know, what do you actually need to do to change? Mm-hmm. And I think those are excellent places to start, you know.
Great. And the last question I want to ask you on this is, so as you've progressed in your career as a trainer and you've sort of shifted more towards this mindset of sustainable change versus just giving sort of a recipe.
Right.
Here's your meal plan, here's your training. And then
yeah.
you go, oh, wait, that's not really going to work. How have you seen your relationships with your clients change, and or how have you seen their progress or results change?
For me, it's been dramatic. And oftentimes I'm kind of, you know, I'm humbled by some of the things that they credit me for. Because in the end, you know, like it's them doing it. It's not, you know, I tell them all the time, this is not for me. This is not me doing anything, you know. They do all the work, and it has been not only in as far as, you know, weight loss is concerned. I think the most of the clients that I work with know how I feel about weight loss and where it fits in within the context of this idea of health, right? You know, I think everything should fit in with the context of what you really value in life. And if you ever ask anybody, it usually comes down to relationships like family and friends and spending more time or experiences with them, right? So understanding that weight loss fits in somewhere within that, it's not that, you know, it's not that important, right? When you look in the larger scheme of things. But when they come out the end of working with me and they feel like better people in general is really the reason why I do what I do, you know, is because that's very rewarding to me as a coach, you know.
I love that. Absolutely. I do think that, you know, having better health, having better fitness ultimately makes you a happier person that can give more to others and can be more confident. And it's really those results that are the most important ones.
Yeah. Agreed. Totally agree.
Great. Awesome. Well, that was great. I love talking to you about that today.
Yeah, for sure. And, I had a good time.
Yeah. And that's going to wrap us up for today. You can follow us on future podcasts on evolutiontrainers.com. Check out our blog page, and we'll be back with more podcasts very soon. Have a great day.